Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. We want to thank the governor, don't we, Ryan?
Absolutely. That was a great conversation.
It was a good conversation, yes. Kind of mixing in, talking with him a little bit about New Bedford and what's going on with the fishing industry. I'm sure Captain Lou will be interested in that.
Oh, sure.
But what I'm more interested in is the guest that we have sitting before us. If anybody is afraid, it likes the shows that deals with survival, shows like Dual Survival, not Survivor, where Jeff Probst pops up and gives you a gives you a chance to challenge for a sandwich, or Naked and Afraid. This isn't where you just go somewhere and you try to live, but you get no clothes on. We have someone who actually has been on that show and is currently on the edition called Naked and Afraid XL. It's the Uncensored Stars edition. She also previously was on Naked and Afraid. She did two episodes. We have Laura Zerra, who is joining us here in studio to talk about not only being a survivalist, but how she became someone who was on TV showing her skills and out there, you know, trying to survive, not just for 21 days, but currently she's in a stint trying to survive at 40 days.
Thank you guys for having me. It's kind of a tough act to follow the governor, but I'll do my best.
No. I think if the governor had it his way, he would be the headliner. But you get to be somewhat the headliner. First and foremost, to tell us, how did you become involved in being a survivalist, somebody who wanted to live off the land and find ways to push yourself when it came to, you know, finding water or starting fires and stuff like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think being a survivalist was really a side effect of the fact that I just wanted to have adventures. Ever since I was little, I just wanted to do new things and learn new things and go new places. And the more I went out, the more I realized that I wanted to be more self-sufficient and I wanted to have a real relationship with the land and with the places I was, and I wanted to carry less things. And so for me, survival was kind of a natural progression, I think. I mean, I think I learned a lot as well just from traveling with no money and having to literally survive in situations where, you know, I didn't have much.
Self-taught?
Self-taught.
Wow.
I've definitely met some amazing people along the way. I've had people who helped me out with certain skills, hide tanning, bow building, that kind of thing. But my biggest teacher is failure and trying things and failing and then trying again and failing again and finally figuring it out.
Something that our society probably needs to learn to do more.
I think failure's a good thing. It gets a bad rap, but it's a good thing.
Do you have a question, Ryan?
Well, actually,
I just,
just reading kind of, you know, through your bio earlier, one thing that kind of really intrigued me as a young kid, when you were younger, you went out and found roadkill for fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was this weird relationship I had where I was an animal lover, and mostly I just felt really bad about seeing these things that were hitting the side of the road and kind of wanting to make something good out of a useless death, so to speak. And I started tanning hides, and then I broke my vegetarianism by starting to eat roadkill, and I still eat a lot of roadkill.
You really? Like, you'll just go out?
It's free range, it's local, it's organic, it's free, and it's making use of something that would otherwise be wasted. I'm all about it.
I don't really know how I would feel about that, me doing
just
that myself.
Just make sure you check with local regulations and laws, because you definitely need permission to do that.
And you're somebody, you grew up here in Massachusetts, in the Commonwealth, western part of the state.
Grew up in Western Mass, outside of Springfield.
Now you're in parts unknown up somewhere in the New Hampshire area.
New Hampshire has been my home for a little while now, but I still travel a lot. The road's kind of more my home than anywhere.
What got you into wanting to do a TV show exhibiting the skills that you have learned?
You know, I'll be completely honest. I had no desire whatsoever to do a TV show ever. And I was contacted, I guess it's over 2 years ago, by a casting agency who was trying to put the show together. And I just was really intrigued because it sounded like an amazing adventure, you know? And I think even when I was out there filming, it didn't seem like it would ever be made public. It was kind of just all about this experience I was getting, and then all of a sudden I was sitting down watching it realizing that my poor parents had to see my naked butt on TV.
What was it like to get past the point of having no clothes on? I mean, a lot of people, you know, they like to be clothed and to be stuck in a situation for 20 plus days where you don't have any clothing. Right. The only thing you have to rely on is the one item that you choose, right, whether it's a machete, a fire starter. I thought I saw one person bring duct tape.
Yep.
I mean, people do that.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, I'm lucky in that I'm very comfortable with nudity. It wasn't as weird for me, I think, as it would be for other people. I'm not self-conscious. But that being said, night one, all of a sudden you realize exactly how vulnerable you are, and you realize exactly how much of a shelter just one layer of clothing is. And when you're getting bit by bugs everywhere, and when it's, you know, 80 degrees out and you're starting to get cold because it just dropped to 79, you're kind of thinking, oh wow, you know, there's something to this. This is not going to be easy.
Now, with the Naked and Afraid, what was the kind of hardest thing getting used to, other than of course the clothes? What do you think was the biggest challenge to overcome?
You know, I think it was very interesting to be thrown out with a stranger that you didn't know. You didn't know their strengths and their weaknesses. You were both a little standoffish, and being able to work as a team successfully and efficiently, that was really difficult on my first challenge. Just going out there and, you know, not knowing what circumstances you were operating under. And in certain ways, it would have been almost easier if you were just doing it by yourself.
And the first place you went to, just the regular Naked and Afraid, 21 mm-hmm. days, you went where, and who was your partner?
I went to Panama, and my partner was Clint.
Do you still keep in touch with Clint?
I do. We're actually buddies. He's a really good guy, and people know him as the guy that brought goggles. And I think, right? I feel terrible that he's known as that, but no, he's a really good guy. I think when you go through something like that with someone, you're just going to be friends for life. It's kind of how it works.
And what was it? I think you brought a machete, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's always my knife my item of choice.
Right, because it's a common sense thing. You want to build shelter.
Yeah, I mean, I've done survival with stone tools, and I tell you what, it really makes you appreciate having a blade, because, yeah, you can improvise, you can use stone tools, it gets you by, but there is nothing like having a good knife out there.
What was it like making your first fire? I mean, what was it like when you first started learning and then taking that skill and trying to apply it to a situation mm-hmm. of being on a TV show?
Yeah, I mean, making primitive friction fire was probably one of the biggest struggles I had when I first started doing it. It just seemed impossible. And, you know, a lot of failure. Again, I didn't really have a great teacher to stand there and say, this is what you're doing wrong, this is what you need to do. Mm. So it was a lot of failure. And I think it's one of those things that bringing it into any new location, you always face challenges when you don't have the right woods, when you have all these different variables, moisture in the air, all these stupid things.
That was initially. It was very moist.
It was very challenging. And I had a bad machete wound on one hand, and I had a venomous caterpillar that stung me on the other. And so trying to work this kit,
You had the sand, you had the...
And then the chytra bites, and everything was swollen. And, you know, everything's great when you're doing it in your backyard under controlled conditions. And then you throw in all these X factors, and it just becomes exponentially harder.
How much is it, other than your skills, your mental condition?
I think it's 100% mental. I think, you know, I think even someone that doesn't have refined skills can still go out, and if they have a good head on their shoulders, and if they have common sense, and if they know what their basic needs are, they can figure out, get creative, and how to meet them.
Right.
The differences between just the regular Naked and Afraid in this season, the XL, what do you think the biggest differences are in the biggest obstacles were for you personally?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was such a bigger impact on the land when you have 12 people on any environment. Sure. And, you know, socially, it's very difficult when you're living on top of each other, and, you know, you really want to see everyone get through the challenge, but it just, everything becomes harder. Everyone has different strengths, different weaknesses. For most of the people, it was the first time that I'd ever met them. And so to get out there and, again, to be thrown in a situation where you have to learn how to work and work well and work as a team, and, you know, it can be very challenging.
Was that a struggle? Did you feel that was a struggle with Clint? And then we'll talk about
absolutely the
next time you're with EJ, who you're teamed up, you're with as a group dynamic now in the XL version.
Yeah. It was definitely a challenge with Clint. I had no idea who this guy was, and I think for a while he actually thought I was an actress, so he didn't believe anything I was saying. he thought he was just being duped on some kind of, you know, reality twist survival show. But with EJ, it was different because we talked a lot on the phone. We'd seen each other's different shows, and we kind of knew more what the other person was all about. And we both went in there, and, you know, I remember the first night we had a conversation, and we're like, we're both going to work our butts off. And no matter what, we're just going to keep going and push each other and be there for each other. And, you know, setting that groundwork made things a lot easier with the two of us.
And remind folks, you both, you and Clint made it to the end, or just you?
Yep, Clint and I both made it to the end.
What's that like when you get to day 19, 20, and you've got to plot your extraction?
Oh, it's intimidating, like? You know, because it's
not easy. We're just going to walk over to that road. It's not.
No, and at that point in time, you're so depleted and you're so tired and you're just emotionally exhausted as well. I think, you know, you find strength when you don't think you have it. Wow. And I think in every case that I've, you know, every experience that I've had, that's the case.
Is there a way that you can, like, how do you prepare yourself before you even go out there? Like, do you eat less? Do you?
I try
to
get fat, to be honest with you. I was eating almost, I was trying to eat.
So I would be perfect.
Yeah. There you go, Kevin.
You know, but traditional people weren't skin and bones, and they weren't chiseled out of stone either. Mm-hmm. And to have a few extra pounds socially is considered a bad thing now, you know, but that's not reality. I mean, in reality, when you have a few extra pounds on you going into this kind of situation, you're going to be way better off. It's amazing how quickly you start to burn fat and muscle, and, you know, your body evens out, your metabolism slows down, but if you don't have a little cushion to get you through the beginning, in my opinion, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Again, we're speaking with Laura Zaris. She is one of the stars of Naked and Afraid, and she's currently 9 people who are remaining on the current episode of Naked and Afraid.
I think it's technically 8 now.
Is it 8 now?
We're down to 8.
Oh. And next week is actually the finale.
It is the finale. Oh.
Well, I want to go back to EJ, because I'm trying to go chronologically here.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what it was like working with a guy like EJ, and what did you take from working with Clint, and how did you apply that with a guy like EJ?
You know, I think working with EJ, it was, we come from such different backgrounds. You know, he's military all the way. I'm kind of...
Hoorah.
Right, hoorah. I'm just this little woods girl that runs around and loves animals and respects nature. And, you know, I think most people would think that we were doomed to just fight and disagree. But, you know, I think with anyone, it's all about relating and finding that common ground and just having respect and being kind. And when that happens, and when you can work together on that kind of level, it's, you know, you're going to be fine.
What would you say was probably the high point with EJ? What was the low point? Because you have them. There's an ebb and a flow.
Yeah. I mean, I think the high point with EJ was when we get on this epic raft that we built and we just started sailing off into the sunset, quite literally. And, you know, it was one of those beautiful moments where a lot of times in the Amazon, we had the fireflies at night, and then we had lightning in one direction and shooting stars above us, and it was just this amazing display of light, and it was so beautiful and great. And then, you know, 2 hours later, we're fighting through one of the worst storms I've ever seen in my life, where we were both hypothermic and freezing, and then the mosquitoes came out, and it was absolutely horrific.
And that's something that my next question, you anticipated my next question, because not only do you have to be able to go into a certain terrain and be able to find food, start fire, get water, but you don't know what the element's going to be. You don't know if it's going to be blazing heat or if it's going to be raining for 4 days.
Right, right. And you never know, and you have to be prepared, and you have to realize that it's going to be this series of highs and lows, and that it's going to be some of the best times of your life and probably some of the worst times in your life. And that's, I don't know, that's why I love it.
Now, you were successful in these two Naked and Afraid, that we went 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
How did they bait the hook to say, Laura, you know, you made it twice going 21 days. I bet you can do 40 days. And what we're going to do is you, along with, from what I understand, there were six females. Mm-hmm. Six males. You were going to be one of the six females. Mm-hmm. And we're going to plop you down in the middle of Colombia, and you can do it for 40 days. What do you think of that?
I mean, I absolutely jumped at the opportunity. I was... You know, why don't we do 60? What about 80? You know, I mean, I was all about it. You know, I think knowing that there were going to be that many people out there was my only concern, because, you know, when you're going hunting and you have one other person in the woods, it gets exponentially harder. And then you add two people, and it's even worse. And, you know, the more you add, the harder it gets. Yep. And then, you know, you have to factor in for the fact that there are crew members there that are going to be also creating an impact. So I knew it was something that was going to be actually far more challenging than a real survival experience.
So was there any time that, I mean, how many crew members would you have kind of just kind of linger around? You would have a sound person, you have a camera person.
Would that be it, or would you have more? Try to keep it as low as possible. You know, it's one of those things where they want to have the least impact, and they really want to keep it as authentic as possible. But when you have all these groups, and all of a sudden all the groups come together, and you have all these people in one area, well, the amount of cameras that you need just to make sure that you're catching everyone is really quite a lot. And it, you know, there was an ebb and a flow, but it's quite an impact. At very minimum, we at least always had three people there.
Wow.
Does that kind of change the reality that you are out there, or does it still feel like you are out there? And
I mean,
you need to do
you're
what you
still
need to do?
Cold, you're still hungry, you're still wet, you're still experiencing things, so it is still very real. And I think it almost adds this level of desperation, because if there was no one there, you know, even though these people aren't interacting with you, you're in a zoo, and you almost, it's like, you know, there are these people there, and they're not talking to you, and they're not helping you, but you know they could. And so it adds this level of distress of being like, we're humans here, you know, I'm starving, like, I know you have a Gatorade in your bag.
I was gonna say, they went off, hey, listen, we're gonna go on lunch break, so you guys go over there and start your fire, and they're like eating ham sandwiches and gone. Hey, they didn't do that,
they
did they?
Politely disappear at a certain time every day. And we obviously knew what was going on.
Come back,
but
like
you pretend
peanut butter jelly and stuff.
Right? You're like, oh, you got a little bit in your face there, buddy. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not think about. You do kind of become immersed in the situation, and it, you know, you're experiencing everything. I think it just makes it a little bit worse.
So we look at the first episode of XL, and you come to find Eva.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, somehow, Danny finds her way to you guys.
Yes.
What was that like, knowing when you... Did you know that you were going to be bumping in other people?
I was completely prepared to be out there alone, and I was actually kind of hoping to be out there alone.
So they didn't tell you that there were going to be other people.
No.
So you were actually authentic. You're like, hey.
It was like, oh, my God. And that's the last person I ever thought that they would put me with. I didn't think I'd be with a female, and I certainly didn't think it would be Eva. And it was... Yeah, it was great. I mean, I was excited.
I thought you and Eva, and I think when Danny showed up, even you guys had the little net, mm-hmm. cooking your minnows.
Oh, it was best case scenario. So stoked to be with those two. I mean, that would have been my dream team. If I could have known who was going out there, and if I could have put it together, that would have been my dream team.
What made you guys, I think it was you who kind of went for the little, you wandered and found Luke.
It was actually Danny.
It was Danny, and then she's like, hey.
Yeah, so we knew that there were other people out there, but we didn't know how far away they were. And
one of her little walks.
Well, there had been a couple times that we thought we could smell smoke, and we knew that someone was going to be down there, and, you know, we kind of had an idea it was going to be that direction, and so... you know, she was kind of sent over as the spy to see, because we were really nervous about meeting someone else. You know, you get nervous out there where you're like, no, things are pretty good. We don't want to introduce an X factor that's going to create drama and, you know, I don't know, all these unknowns that you're introducing.
Sure.
So, it was very, I think, strange to... It looks weird when you see her sneaking up on the group, but in reality, we were kind of just playing it cautious, you know?
Right. So she ended up coming... How did she kind of explain it to you and... Who did you end up meeting up with? Folks who haven't seen it yet, but, you know, it's on their DVR.
Yeah, she came and, you know, she just kind of laid out, gave us, you know, a full report of the happenings. And, you know, we made the decision. We were in an area that was just incredibly resource poor. It was the most resource poor area on the entire savannah. We had zero plant food at all. And so we were working for every morsel of food we had to put in our mouth. You know, it's much easier to get a passive resource like a plant than something that's trying to run and swim away from you.
Yeah.
So, you know, we wanted to move anyway. We talked about maybe going to the to Piranha Lake at that point, but we decided that we were going to go and stick near the tree line, walk along that river that we had there and meet up with the boys and just kind of... We wanted to keep on moving. We had no intentions of staying there and forming a bigger group.
Now, once you had gone over, now you've had a chance to kind of watch the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about when you watched what you know that with Luke that group.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with them? How, because we saw again, we talked about the social dynamic and being able to interact and seeing someone get. so hostile, and like throw all of this survival stuff in the
water. You
know,
it was
like,
interesting.
Whoa.
They really downplayed the drama when we first got there, and I didn't think that it was going to be as intense as it was.
Yeah.
And
what's her name again?
Honora.
Honora,
yeah. Yeah, that was intense. I was really glad I wasn't there for that.
But you met up with these two guys, and they had, it was like, they had like
Jungle Ranch. They were literally rolling in resources. It was such a stark contrast to what we'd been experiencing. And the fact that these guys were funny and they were heartfelt and they were genuine and we all just jived really well. Yeah. And
it seemed like an interesting dynamic because Luke, he's like a real chill guy.
Ah, like nicest dude ever.
Yeah, he was just all like, hey, come hang out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard him speak a mean word to anyone.
Yeah, he seemed cool. Did you have a question? I'm like sitting here hogging all this conversation. I feel so bad. Yeah, we're speaking with Laura Zara. She is one of the stars of Naked and Afraid, and she is on the current season, which is the XL version, Uncensored Stars. Now, you guys decided to kind of up and move from your little paradise, your jungle richness, and head to Piranha Lake.
Yep.
What the heck?
You know, it was one of those things where we kind of made the decision that we wanted to be closer to our extraction point. It was, you know, getting to be the middle of the challenge. There wasn't a lot of protein where we were. It was a little kind of tribute, or it was like a drainage creek on the edge of the savannah that wasn't very, it didn't have a lot of animals in it. All the animals go to the big Orinoco River in Piranha Lake because it was the dry season there. So you go where the food is, and we were leaving unknowns. You know, we still had mangoes left, we still had almonds left, there was hearts of palm there that we were eating, there were these little fruits from the palm trees that we were eating, but you know, I think all of us just wanted to see how good we could do. You know, there's, the grass is always greener. We wanted to explore the grass on the other side.
So what was it like when you ended up over at Piranha Lake and you ended up meeting up with
the boys.
Jeff and Shane. What was that like?
Well, it was...
Actually, you guys showed up at dinner time.
Yeah, it was really intense. So we're walking across the savannah, and, you know, the sun is setting, and it's so beautiful, and there's just all... The light is perfect,
it's
and
hot.
It's kind of this, you know... We were all a little bit tired and exhausted, but we get to the edge of this forest, and it's this really dark and just dreary looking forest, and we see smoke coming out of the trees, and we actually stood there for a little bit, and we were like, I don't know, like, do we want to go in and see who this is? I kind of want to just go to sleep in the savannah. And we kind of decided, all right, we're going to go in and check this out. Yeah. I was leading. As I walked in, I see these guys, and it's dark, the light is dark, and they're such a contrast from the savannah, and they're all of their heads bowed, and they looked like they were crying or really upset, and I stopped. And I was just like, oh, you know, get out of here.
Bad,
you know,
bad
run,
time.
Run. Yeah, retreat.
Put it in reverse.
Right. But we waited there, and I realized they were actually praying. And so we actually stopped and, like, waited for them to finish praying.
Respectful,
and walked up. And, yeah.
Feast. What was that like?
I mean,
you're walking into a feast.
You know, I think it was awkward. I think there was definitely, we had talked a lot about just the situation of, you know, I would never ask for food in that situation. That's not what you do. You expend calories to get food. You don't ever expect food in return. You know, I think one of the things that we did, we shared some of our mangoes with them as soon as we got there. We had a bunch of dried mangoes, and that was kind of a surplus, and it was a goodwill gesture. And I think that, you know, between us sharing those dried mangoes and them sharing some of their meat, it was just, it kind of set the tone for, okay, you know, we're not enemies here. No one here wants to be a leech. We're just, you know, we're putting it out there. This is what it is. Unfortunately, because of the way the forest was with all the black palm, we were forced to be really close to each other, which was so unideal because the impact we had was massive on that forest.
Were you surprised that EJ, Jeff, and Shane wanted to kind of be their own separate group? And of course, folks who've paid attention, Shane left last episode. His body just couldn't take it anymore. So it ended up just being Jeff and EJ. Were you surprised that they wanted to stay their own dynamic and didn't want to kind of matriculate?
I think that I had sort of had the similar feelings in the beginning of the challenge. You know, if someone had come in, I don't think I would have been that receptive. It's another mouth. It's unknowns. It's what you have is working, why do you want to change that? And so, you know, I think to a large extent, it was a decision that they made based on the way things were working. You know, if you have two people, dealing with two people is, even a lot easier than dealing with three people. As soon as you have three people, you're going to have some kind of trouble. And so when you have two people, it's very ideal.
Do you think you could have made it by yourself the whole 40 days?
Yes.
Okay.
It's confidence
absolutely.
There. That's confidence right there.
100%.
You were ready for that. Going in with the mindset of by yourself.
Well,
last night watching you just like snag a lizard. Yeah. Hey, guys, look, I got a lizard. It's like it was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't starving out there. It was a challenging thing. It's definitely not the most challenging thing I've ever done in my life. It was more emotionally challenging than physically challenging, I would say.
What is the grossest thing you had to eat?
You know, I really was not a fan of tarantula.
I was wondering that. I was watching that last night.
I almost picked that up, on the way here tonight. Little swamp water. I was going to hook you up.
I would have felt right at home. No, I mean, it was... I don't know why I was expecting I was going to like tarantula so much, but it was kind of disappointing. I want to try it again. Maybe I just didn't cook it right. I don't know. It kind of tasted like burnt plastic. Maybe it was too well done. Used to like one of those eat it rare kind of things.
What was it you do? Something you guys were eating that somebody said, oh, it tastes like burnt popcorn. What was that?
I think that was the locust. Yeah.
The locust, yeah.
Locusts are actually delicious. Crickets, locusts, grasshoppers, they're... Once you get past the mental part of, oh, yeah, I'm eating a bug, they're actually really delicious.
Watching what happened last night with, you know, when you watch things and how, I know because I do TV production and I watch editing, do you kind of, you sit back and you watch stuff and go, I don't remember that, how that actually happened.
Right.
Where it kind of looks like there's this kind of an adversarial type of thing or how things are going. Have you found yourself watching and scratching your head sometimes?
You know, I think that unfortunately with 40 days of footage, trying to cram it into 8 episodes is an impossible task that I would never want. And they can only tell so many stories. And if you try to tell every side of every story, you could have a, 48-hour marathon, Naked and Afraid, several week kind of situation going on. So I think it's interesting to see what parts get played. And I think people love heroes and villains. At the end of the day, people want to love their heroes and they want to hate their villains. And yeah, it doesn't always come across to show everyone's, we all have all of those characters in us. And it kind of becomes one-sided, I think, when you're watching the way characters are developed on TV.
If I give you an opportunity to just kind of say something, because I saw you tweet it out last night, and that is that when you guys were with the Stingray, there was a general understanding as far as what you guys caught that what you would actually share. And I don't think folks know that, right?
Yeah, and, I think that's one of those things where, no one is intending to make anything look bad, but you can't have all of that discussion in,
a one-hour
TV show. Yeah. We had a lot of discussions to kind of try to keep peace in the village, more or less. And it was a big problem because you'd almost want to, you'd go out and you'd catch 10 lizards and you'd be hiding it as you walked past Jeff and EJ being like, are they going to feel bad? Like, they're getting fish and they're trying to kind of downplay it. And we're like, no one wants to be shoving food in anyone's face because that's hard. But when you have mouths to feed in your group and you're putting energy in and you're deciding to work as separate groups, you have to have lines. So we determined that if it was a caiman or an eel or something that was there's more meat on an eel than two people could ever eat. There was days where we had a hard time finishing an eel between all of us.
Wow.
So there was a significant amount of meat on those. So we really decided that made sense on a stingray, on a lizard, on a fish. I was never upset when Jeff and EJ walked by with a string of fish and didn't share.
String of fish.
They were yanking the fish out. Those hooks were a terrific item. But it was one of those things where you had to lay the groundwork. So we determined that lizards, fish, and stingrays were too small to be divvied up. I definitely was shocked at my tone when I was describing that, and I think it didn't necessarily come across like I was being very grateful. But after the boys left, we sat around and we felt really bad, and we actually did end up bringing them. Luke ended up bringing them over some stingray, so they did get to try Ray after all.
Okay. Anything in closing? Anything that we haven't touched upon, but did you want to kind of kind of share with the folks who are fans of survival shows like Naked and Afraid, or maybe you're a fan or a fan of Naked and Afraid.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I just hope people get inspired to go out and have their own adventures. You know, you don't have to go off for 40 days in Colombia, but I don't know. There's ways to have adventures on your way home from work, and it's all about that adventurous spirit and knowing that, you know, you're capable of more than what you think you're capable of. You know, people are capable of a lot.
Where are you going to be for the finale? Do you have a special place you're going to be?
You know, we're trying to rally together and see who can be in New England and maybe get together. EJ might be up here. We might have Eva coming in, Alana, Danny. So we're going to try to do a little get together if we can.
Big fan of all of them, if you will.
So
hopefully, if they happen to hear this podcast, because this will be up in the next couple of days. Congratulations. No matter if somebody made it a couple of days or made it to day 35 or day 40, it's a fantastic feat. And if you can do that, I mean, it's cool.
Thank you.
It definitely is. And not many people can do it, as I said to you off air. It's a fantastic feat to be able to live off the land and provide. A lot of us are so used to, I just go down the street and get something to eat.
Right.
Or, you know, or starting a fire, I get a cigarette lighter. It's not that easy if you're out in the middle of nowhere.
No, I think it's, you know, it's amazing what people are capable of. The greater the need, the greater the result. And I think people would be surprised at how well they would do out there.
Well, we're going to ask you to stick around because we are going to do a hot sauce challenge.
Awesome.
So if you don't mind, we're going to have Jeff Hills from Healthy Appetites come in. And we're going to be trying out some hot sauces. So you'll stay around?
Yeah, that's what I needed for my tarantulas. I love hot sauce.
All right. We're going to step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.